Support for this public radio podcast comes from Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com.
A new military alignment.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. The Pentagon divides the world into big chunks of territory. It positions its bases kind of like the real-life game of Risk. There's CENTCOM, which covers the Middle East, PACCOM, the Pacific Rim, and now for the first time, AFRICOM. As Eric Kneeler reports, this signifies Africa's growing importance as an economic power.
Officials say AFRICOM will help African countries fight terrorism, run humanitarian missions, and protect economic interests. Chevron, Shell, and Marathon Oil all have big projects in Africa, which accounts for 15% of U.S. oil imports. But Deputy Assistant Secretary of State Teresa Whelan says U.S. troops will act as advisors, not a police force.
AFRICOM isn't going to be used to protect natural resources in Africa.
Eurasia Group analyst Philippe de Ponte says oil fields off the west coast of Africa are too important for the U.S. to ignore.
Clearly, protecting offshore oil interests will, in fact, be an important part of the mandate. It won't be the only thing.
India and China are also moving in to exploit African oil. No word yet on where the U.S. base will be located. In Washington, I'm Eric Kneeler for Marketplace.
Some shareholders of the oil company BP want to make sure the company learns its lesson. They say with all the safety problems BP has had, the outgoing CEO shouldn't be getting overcompensated. Our European correspondent Stephen Beard joins us from London. Stephen, what are these shareholders up to?
A group of public sector pension funds are sending a letter to BP today, putting pressure on the company over the issue of safety. They say executive remuneration should be tied closely to safety. Executive pay should not benefit solely from cost-cutting. One member of this group of public sector pension funds has joined a legal action with a US pension fund calling on the company to freeze all the payouts to Lord Brown, the departing chief executive of BP. The sum they are talking about is $140 million, and they want this sum to be frozen so that when an earlier lawsuit, which was launched in Alaska last year, is resolved, the court can resort to this money.
So, Stephen, what does BP say about this?
The company says, first of all, no comment, since there is a lawsuit underway here. However, they do not recognize this figure of $140 million as Lord Brown's remuneration. They're unable to give the exact figure because there are stock options there, but they say it is significantly less than $140 million.
Okay, Stephen, thank you.
Okay, Scott.
Wall Street's looking for a little bounce this morning. Last week, the major indexes all lost about 0.5%. The Dow starts this morning at 12,580, the NASDAQ's at 2,459, and the S&P 500 is at 1,438. We'll get some poll numbers today about smoking in the movies. This poll comes from medical groups and university researchers. It finds that 70% of Americans support giving films an automatic R rating if they show actors smoking. Jeff Tyler tells us what's at stake for the tobacco industry.
Each year, almost 400,000 kids are introduced to smoking through movies rated PG-13. So says Stanton Glantz, professor of medicine at the University of California, San Francisco. He says impressionable kids represent a crucial market for the industry.
New smokers will smoke for about 20 years. The discounted present value of each year's worth of new smokers is about $4.1 billion to the tobacco industry. So the tobacco companies are making a fortune off of smoking in the movies.
However, he says butts on the screen don't necessarily mean more butts in the cinema seats. His own analysis shows that PG-13 movies that don't show smoking make an average of $8 million more at the box office. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
This month, a Canadian insurance company called Great West Life Co. said it's buying Putnam Investments. Putnam's one of the biggest mutual fund managers in the U.S. Right now, it's owned by insurance company Marsh & McLennan. Ordinarily, this deal would be kind of a snoozer, but Newsweek's Alan Sloan found something that caught his attention.
Great West has figured out how to do something that has bedeviled people for years, which is how to get money today for tax savings. It thinks it'll have sometime over the next 15 years.
How is it going to do that?
It's going to do the Wall Street thing. It's going to sell a security. The way Great West, which is in Winnipeg, Manitoba, where it is really cold, but anyway, yes, they have this hot idea that the way they're buying Putnam, they get to deduct the entire purchase price from their taxable income over 15 years, which would produce a lot of money. So what they're doing is they've sold a security to somebody, or they will sell a security to somebody somewhere on Wall Street that gives them $550 million today in return for a piece of the tax cuts in the future, and then they take that money and use it to help buy Putnam. I just think it's hilarious.
What do you think the IRS will say about this?
I think if the IRS has anything to say about it at all, they will bless it because this doesn't involve taxable income. On the other hand, the seller, which is Marsh & McLennan, is going to have to pay a very large capital gains tax bill. And I think the value of the tax that Marsh & McLennan pays will be roughly the same as today's value of the tax savings. So in the end, all of us taxpayers will roughly break even. I'm just trying to figure out how to get the government to give me money I haven't paid in taxes yet. And as soon as I figure that out, you'll be among the first to know.
Among the first. All right. That's a deal. Alan, thanks a lot.
My pleasure, Scott.
Alan Sloan, the Wall Street editor for Newsweek magazine. If you have any thoughts to share with us, go to our website, marketplace.org, and send us an email. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and have a great Monday.
American Public Media.